Many a Slip. Introduced by Roy Plumley.
Many a Slip, round one of a new series. The teams, on my right, the ladies, Eleanor Summerfield and Gillian Reynolds. On my left, the gentlemen, David Nixon and Tim Rice. I read out some pieces written by none other than Ian Messiter. These pieces have mistakes in them. The first player to spot a mistake presses a button. If it's a member of the ladies' team, you'll hear something like this. If it's a gentleman, you'll hear this. Thank you. Scoring when we come to it, and the chairman's decision is final, even when he's wrong. First piece. It's usual in the first part of the first show of a new series, or at least somewhere in the new series of Many a Slip, for me to Eleanor Summerfield.
Did you say in the new series?
I said a new series.
You should have said the new series.
Yes, sure, I should. Can you tell me what a series is?
No.
No. It's an Indian people of Mexico. One of those people.
Oh, yes, of course.
You knew that, of course. Uh-huh. Anyway, it's one mark for spotting mistake, another for correcting it, so Eleanor's got two marks. The marks are, of course, accredited to the team, not the person. But if you press a button for a mistake that isn't there, then the marks are credited to the other team. Is that clear? On we go. Somewhere in the new series of Many a Slip, for me to give you a complete pandect of the rules. But it is Tim Rice.
Did you say pandect?
Pandect, I said.
You shouldn't have. Of.
Why not?
Total misuse of the word.
Explain the word.
I think I'll quit while I'm ahead.
Who can tell me about a pandect? Anybody, for another mark.
It's Tim's a Tibetan priest.
You're pushing your luck. It isn't, so that's one to the other side. In addition to meaning the complete code of the laws of a country, it also means a complete digest.
Oh.
So it's tautology. You don't need complete in front of pandect.
Yes.
You were going to...
That's what I was going to say. If that's what it means, then you've tautologized yourself.
I don't believe it. On we go. But it's sufficient enough this time to tell you that a mistake spotted by Eleanor Summerfield...
Now, that's tautological. Sufficient enough is not necessary. Sufficient.
Two marks.
Is sufficient.
Sufficient this time to tell you that a mistake spotted by you will get two marks. And as Eleanor Summerfield...
Only if you're the first person who presses the thingy and corrects it.
Only if you buzz first.
Yes. Yes.
One for spotting it and...
One for correcting it.
You have two marks.
Proper.
Yes. And as you will all hear later, the same goes for Steve Race. David Nixon.
I think there's a mistake there.
1 point.
The same goes for what Steve Race is going to do. Or the same goes for Steve Race's contribution.
I think I'm going to give one to the other side. Steve doesn't win points. That's the thing about it.
Yes, I put it badly.
Yes, you agree. Steve Race on his pianoforte. Some... Tim Rice.
I don't think it's actually his pianoforte. It belongs to BBC.
Two marks. The BBC has indeed played the first instalment. Some listeners get the most pleasure from mistakes made by accident. And there are, Eleanor Summerfield.
A mistake is an accident. I mean,
all mistakes are accidents.
Yeah.
Yes, two marks. And there are a fair sprinkling of those. This, David Nixon.
There is a fair sprinkling of them.
Right you are, two marks. This Struthius resume of pure English words has probably given an idea of the game to new listeners. Tim Rice.
I don't think it has. That last sentence confused me and probably confused most of the listeners.
Would you like me to go back on it?
Yes.
This Struthius resume of pure English words has probably given an idea...
Well, they're not... I mean, for a start, resume presumably is French, so it's not all English words.
You can have a resume of French words or English words.
No, but the
or
point
kind of
is that you use the word resume, which is not an English word, and you just said that the whole thing was English words. Well, that's a French word.
Not anymore.
I'm going to give you three marks. This is Messiter's mistake.
Four.
Anybody want to argue about Struthius?
Not likely.
Not very much. No.
Not nervous about it.
Not when you say it like that.
No.
Yes.
Well, it means resembling the ostrich, which...
We just buried our heads in the sand.
Thank you. It's probably given an idea of the game to new listeners who've never heard Many a Slip before. Eleanor Summerfield.
Now, that's tautology, because if they're new listeners, then...
Of course
they haven't heard it before.
How right you are for two marks. The ladies are leading at the end of that first piece by 14 points to 8. Mm. Politics now.
Oh, Lord.
Only half the lies told about today's politicians are true. David Nixon.
Quarrel with that on two counts, I'm sure. No, you can't say that, because if only half the lies are true, a lie isn't true anyway.
Too much. Mm. Politics, whether at local or government level, is always complex. Gillian Reynolds.
Yes, politics is. I mean, shouldn't you say politics are?
Yes,
especially
you
when
should.
You're saying at local or at national level.
Right. Yes, politics means political matters. It should be in the plural. Politics are, 2 marks. Mm. Politics are always complex. Democracy is especially complex. Democracy is the worst form of government, except, said Gladstone, except for any other form.
Did he really say except twice?
No.
Oh, so I can get some points then?
No, to the other side get points because Gladstone didn't say it.
Oh, poor.
David Nixon.
I believe that was Winston Churchill.
Yes, it was.
And he didn't say it quite like that.
Go on. You've got
democracy,
2 marks.
Sorry, what was that first bit?
Democracy is the worst form of government
except for other forms of government or other forms that have been tried. It was something like that.
Except all those other forms that have been tried from time to time. Another 2 marks, Mr. Nixon. Ooh. Congratulations.
Well done.
Gillian Reynolds, you wanted to add
but
something.
But he didn't say it like that because he would have said more like, except for any other kind of government.
We charge for impersonation.
Oh, no.
The science of political matters was founded by Aristotle around 310 A.D. And he probably, Tim Rice...
Not A.D., I don't think. Aristotle didn't live at that time.
When did he live?
Oh, I'm not too hot on that, but I would suggest 310 B.C.
Not bad. I'll give you 2 marks. 384 to 322 B.C., the dates of Aristotle. And Aristotle probably had many discussions with Plato, who... Tim Wright.
Unlikely. I don't think Plato was overlapping.
Yes, he was, actually.
Well, they didn't like each other.
Two of the ladies. Plato was his junior by many years. Eleanor Sumfield.
The other way up, if you see what I mean. He was his senior.
Plato was his senior, 2 marks. Aristotle classified government into royalty, commonwealth, and aristocracy. This last being... David Nixon.
I would challenge aristocracy.
I shouldn't, because it's quite right. Two
of
the ladies.
Oh.
This last being aptly named after Aristotle. There, David Nixon.
I don't think it was named after Aristotle.
Who was it named after?
Some other fella. I would retire gracefully.
You have 1 mark. Anybody want to pick up another mark? Aristocracy. Direct Greek translation, it means best power. There are parallels were tyranny, inadequacy, and oligarchy. David Nixon.
Inadequacy?
Yes.
I would query it, yes.
You have 1 mark for querying it. Now, who would like to fill in inadequacy instead of?
Democracy.
Democracy. You have your other mark. While the majority of voters are ill-qualified to vote through lack of information and monandry, they also vote usually Eleanor Summers.
What did you say? Monandry?
Monandry.
No.
No?
No.
Why?
It doesn't mean that.
What does it mean?
I don't know.
1 mark.
It's the opposite of polyandry, but I can't think of what polyandry is either.
Yes, that's right. Only one instead
of lots.
Yes,
it's one instead of lots. We know that.
Can we
have one and a half?
Andry.
I'm going to give you 2. You've got it. Monandry means having one husband at a time. I don't know whether you support that view, but that's what it means. They also vote usually for the candy bar with the most persuasive manner. Tim Wright.
The candy what? Candy bar.
Candy bar.
Candidate.
Candidate. 2 marks. With the most persuasive manner, regardless of political ability. Tim Wright.
That's not true in England. I think they tend to vote for the party rather than the person.
May not be true, but it's what I've got here. 2 to the ladies. With the most persuasive manner, regardless of political ability, economic sense, or that all-important versatility at paradiddling. 2 to the gentleman. David Nixon.
What was that last word?
Paradiddling.
That's what you do on a drum, isn't it?
That's what you do on a drum.
A paradiddle?
Yes.
So is it wrong?
Yes. You've got to correct it. What should it be?
I don't know.
You've got one mark. What about taradiddle?
Taradiddle,
yes. You didn't get that. Right. At the end of that piece, the gentlemen have sprung into the lead by 29 marks to 26.
Oh, wow.
Memory test now. I'm going to read out a piece from the collected historical writings of Messiter. And later I'll read it again a little differently, and the teams will tell me how differently. There are four British tribes. First, the Scots, who keep the Sabbath and everything else they can lay their hands on. Second, the Welsh, who pray on their knees on Sunday and on their neighbours the rest of the week. Third, the Irish, who don't know what they want but are prepared to die for it. And fourth, the English, who claim they are a race of self-made men which relieves the Lord of the most dreadful responsibility. And while you cogitate about that, I'm handing over to our musical mistakes man at the piano is Steve Race.
Hello again. Tristan and Isolde, Romeo and Juliet, Hero and Leander, they've inspired composers of music as well as composers of poetry. Let me remind you of an old Judy Garland song, the line out of the middle, "Those famous lovers we'll make them forget, from Adam and Eve to Scarlet and Red." Eleanor,
to Scarlet and Red.
Yes, I play the F sharp. Yes, two marks to you. I mentioned Scarlet and Red. That's Scarlet Butler and her husband. Tim?
Scarlet O'Hara.
Scarlet Butler and her husband. I was right. Suits the ladies. Scarlet O'Hara was her maiden name, wasn't it? Mm. Remember the film theme? That last phrase there, two marks to you. And that was, of course, Lara's theme. Gillian?
No, it wasn't Lara's theme. She's in Dr. Zhivago.
Yes, that's right. So what was the name?
That's the theme from Gone with the Wind.
Yes, but Tara's theme is the phrase I was off. You get the marks anyway. Tara being the other woman, of course, in Gone with the Wind.
No, it's not. It's the house.
It's the house, yes. Two more marks. Film lovers, played by Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman, are recalled, at any rate for me, by this tune. Quite right.
As time.
Two of the gentlemen.
Yes, yes, it was.
And here's the second phrase. David?
You were in a bit anxious there, a bit quick.
I pressed on a bit, that's right. Two, three,
another
four,
beat.
One, two, three. Yes, that's right. Let's change over to opera. In operatic terms, the love story of Ruslan and Ludmilla was a classic.
It's that flipping doggy in the window again.
You did very well, Emily. You got in very quickly with that. Yes. How much is that doggy in the window? As to operatic heroines, Cho Cho San, to name but three, was an early... David.
How many?
Three.
No.
Settle for one,
three
would
names.
You? Yes. To name but one, yes. Two marks to you. An early G.I. bride. And a tragic one, too, as she sang this.
Those notes, what you're playing.
You're very late discovering that.
Yes, well, I let it go first time, but the second time was a bit of a cheat.
I'll give you the benefit of a very large doubt. Well, tell me what she doesn't sing. I'll play it for you.
She doesn't play the diddle dom.
No,
and
the orchestra
did it again.
Plays.
Yes.
Good for you, if late.
Yes.
Two marks to you. In La Bohème, the hero first meets the heroine under a table. As their fingers... Tim?
I'll take a chance on that being inaccurate.
You'll be right, yes. Funny opera, really. It's 2 marks to you. They meet at the door of his studio, actually. Mm. The first pair of lovers I spoke about in this week's programme were Tristan and Isolde. But on to end, Tim, they were...
Yes. I was just emphasising that. They
first
were,
I spoke about it. Giving 2 marks away. I want to end, though, with a song about an elderly couple from Holland. Julian?
They most certainly are not from Holland. They're from London, my dear old Dutch.
Dutch, that's right. 2 marks to you. Here's the song.
I don't see my day too much.
2 marks to you from there.
Swap
for me. Oh! 2 marks to you, David.
It had to be there.
All together now.
As I swap for my dear.
Thank you, Steve Race, and your music spot has brought the girls back in the lead once again. The ladies leading by 51-47.
Close and believable.
Now back to that memory test. There are three British tribes. Tim Rice.
Four.
2 marks. Firstly, the Scots, who keep Sunday and everything else. Eleanor Summerfield.
The Sabbath.
Quite true. 2 marks. You could have got 2 by pointing out I should have said first and not firstly. And everything else they can put their hands on. David Nixon?
Lay their hands on.
2 marks. Second, the Irish, who pray on their knees. Tim Rice?
The Welsh for next.
2 marks. Who pray on their knees on Sunday and on their friends. Tim Rice?
Neighbours.
2 marks. For the rest of the time. Gillian Reynolds?
Rest of the week.
2 marks. Third, the Irish, who don't know what they're doing, but are prepared to die for it. Tim Rice?
Who don't know what they believe in.
What they want.
Two to the ladies.
Well. Don't know what they want.
2 marks. Fourth, the English, who say they're self-made people. Tim Rice?
Was it finally the English, or was it...
No, it wasn't. 2 to the ladies. It was fourth, the English, who say they are self-made people, which... Gillian Reynolds?
Self-made men.
2 marks. Which relieves the Lord of the most dreadful consequences. David Nixon?
No, it wasn't the most dreadful consequences.
What was it? 1 mark you have.
Responsibility.
Responsibility, that's the other mark.
That was teamwork.
That was teamwork. And the score now, 59 to the gentlemen, but 63 to the ladies. The many a slip big game explorer, Willem van Stoop, stood on the edge of a lake and... Tim Rice.
He wouldn't have stood on the edge of the lake. He would have stood by the edge of the lake. Otherwise he would have sunk, presumably.
He could have stood on the edge of a lake if he didn't mind getting his feet.
Well, that would be in.
No, he'd be in it.
That would be in the edge. No, of
that would be on the edge. Half his feet in the lake and the other half out of the lake. 2
Big
to the lady.
Feet.
And listen to this lion calling to his mate. Tim Rice.
How did he know it was calling to his mate?
We called in an expert. Anything else?
Well,
yes, David Nixon.
I think that was a lioness. I don't think that was a lion.
Uh-huh. Sounded very butch to me.
Well, it was a butch lion.
I'll let you into a secret, Nixon. It was a tigress.
I knew it was female. I can tell in a mile off.
You have 1 mark. For your other mark, let's hear your impression of a lion.
Well, starting now.
Yes. In order to give us a basis of comparison, here is a real lion.
Close.
Nearly as good.
You're about an octave up, but never mind, you get your other mark.
Well, that was the lion's impersonation of David Nixon.
Willem was suddenly distracted by the bark of a zebra, or zebra. Gillian Reynolds.
Does a zebra bark? I would have thought it would have whinnied, being more of a horse thing.
It barks, 2 to the gentleman. by the bark of a zebra or zebra, a sound he knew so well, like this. Eleanor something.
That's not a barking zebra.
What is it, then?
It's a curious animal, actually.
I see them all the time, really.
Yes. Yes. All sorts of picky type animals.
They're sort
animals.
Of hairy.
Yes.
Would you like to give us your impression of a barking zebra?
A barking zebra, yeah. Oh. Ah, well, it goes... I mean a barking zebra, yes.
I'm giving 3 to the gentleman. That was perfectly good barking zebra we heard.
Called Spot.
Yes.
Eleanor's zebra had a cold.
That's right. Yeah.
Then out of the river rose 2 creatures. First, the frightening thesaurus, followed by a... Tim Rice.
Well, firstly, he's by a lake, I think, and secondly, thesaurus is a book, isn't it, rather than an animal?
Yes,
frightens
it is.
The hell out of me, a thesaurus.
Yes.
Yeah. 2 marks for the book and 2 marks for the river, because you fooled Messiter on that. He wrote river, he should have written lake. Followed by the water horse, better known as the rhinoceros, which... Tim Rice.
Hippopotamus is a water
horse. Hippopotamus, quite right, 2 marks. Which made a noise like this. Tim Rice.
I don't think that's a hippo.
What do you think it is?
Sounds like a cormorant.
No marks for that. It was a dingo. Would you like to give us your impression of a hippopotamus?
Not a lot.
Come on, you can get marks that way.
Well... That's a very young one.
Well, let's hear a real one.
I say.
No marks for Rice. Suddenly, Willem came face to faces with a herd of leopards, and it gave Eleanor Summerfield...
You can't say face to faces.
Why not? Well, I said it. It's perfectly all right.
Well, you shouldn't have.
2 to the gentleman.
Oh.
With a herd of leopards, and it gave Eleanor Summerfield...
No, that was Gillian.
Gillian.
Is a herd the right collective for leopards?
No, it isn't. 1 mark. What should it be?
A pack?
1 to the gentleman. Gentlemen, have you got any ideas? It should be a leap of leopards.
A what?
A leap.
Or in Ireland, a leap of leopards.
Yes.
And it gave Willem a shock because he had never thought they might meet together in this way. David Nixon.
Do you need together? Meat is enough, isn't
meat
it?
Meat is enough. 2 marks. Then the leopards were distracted by a wildebeest that went...
No, I remember distinctly what a wildebeest does.
Oh.
It goes...
Well, what you heard, in fact, was a llama. As to how accurate was Eleanor's interpretation of the wildebeest, we will now hear when we hear a real one. I do congratulate you, Eleanor.
Thanks so much.
2 marks.
And that's the end of the news.
Score now. 90 to the gentlemen, 72 to the ladies.
Oh, where did we go wrong?
Now we've got a many a slipogram. And this many a slipogram has been written on a typewriter that has no letter... Who is that? Yes.
Written Tim. By a typewriter, not on it.
Oh, get off. No.
On a typewriter, we like.
Very, very bad grammar. I don't like to complain, but...
Written by a typewriter?
Written with a typewriter, but not on it.
Let's forget about it. On a typewriter that has no letter K for king. Catherine went into her kitchen to prepare a meal, David Nixon.
She couldn't have gone into her kitchen. It would be an itching.
For which I remember that limerick. For which he needed Tim Rice.
Limerick has a K at the end.
1 mark for cheek. For which he needed a carefully contrived diet consisting of cabbage cut with a knife into countless David Nixon...
With a knife.
2 marks. Into countless conflicting configurations compacted into cake with a quantity of self-selected Eleanor Summerfield...
Cake has a K in it.
So it does. 2 marks. With a quantity of selected cornflakes and then compounded into David Nixon...
Flake.
flakes.
Two marks. Oh, yes.
And then compounded into neat square packages. She collected it all together, Eleanor Summerfield.
Packages has a K in it.
So it has, two marks. She collected it all together and wrapped it in a napkin. She'd given up counting David Nixon.
Napkin?
Two marks. She'd given up counting calories as she knew that to add them up would be Eleanor Summerfield.
She knew with a K at the front.
Two marks. Would be mathematically difficult and methodically bring her to David Nixon.
Nothing. I mean,
the ladies bring her to her knees. She telephoned Tim Rice.
Knees.
Knees, two marks. She telephoned her boyfriend, who'd just been knighted. In fact, only the previous Tim Rice.
Knighted?
Two marks. In fact, only the previous night. That'll be two to the gentleman, won't it? In fact, only the previous night for his contribution to the cause of knitting, and suggested that they went. Gillian Reynolds.
Knitting.
Two marks. Suggested that they went for a walk towards the castle. Eleanor Summerfield.
A walk.
Two marks. And up the keep. Two marks. Tim Rice. Here she coaxed him into a kiss. And Tim Rice.
Kiss.
Two marks. And caught a bus to Chipping Sodbury.
Pardon?
Chipping Sodbury.
Oh.
Where he asked her to marry him. Gillian Reynolds.
Asked her to marry him.
Two marks. That's... Fairly quickly. Tim Rice.
Quickly.
Yes.
Two marks. And that's as far as we can go. And at the end of this round, end of this first round, the gentlemen have a runaway victory by 110 to 86.
Ah. Oh. Oh. Close, close. Very close.
Until next week, then, on behalf of the teams Eleanor Summerfield and Gillian Reynolds and David Nixon and Tim Rice and Steve Race, our musical mistakes man, I'll say goodbye.
Many a Slip was devised and written by Ian Messiter. The chairman was Roy Plumley and the producer, Martin Fisher.